This is the OTB Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to the Sunday edition of Racing Across America. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Thanks also to our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship. Gulfstream Park, champions start here. Just want to give you a reminder that today at the Clubhouse Racebook, there will be a live bankroll. We'd love to see you down here. $500 bankroll. Last weekend, we had a bankroll, and I made a little bit of money and really just missed on juicing it up nicely. We lost the photo for third and in two triples and had an 8-1 shot, won a good but not good enough second at, again, 8-1 with a $20 win bet. It could have been a much nicer day last Saturday. And Friday, again, apologies to the folks out at O'Toole's. We had a fun little afternoon at O'Toole's on the road with a bankroll there. And as I say, Friday was just one of those days where the horses I liked were not running. And so even with 20/20 hindsight, I typically after these bankrolls will go back, win, lose, or draw, and think, could I have done things differently so I'll have better ideas for the next time? And I looked at Fridays, and it wasn't my day. The horses I liked were not given much effort. So I am ready to reload this afternoon, $500. Come on down to the Clubhouse Racebook today. Put your name in the hat between 11 and 2, and we will select the team. I'll start playing at about 1 and play until about 5 o'clock. So we would love to see you down here. 20 folks selected here, 5 among new account signups, and they will be on the team. And even if you don't get on the team, you can kind of listen in during the afternoon, see what we're playing, maybe get some ideas there. It's always a lot of fun, and it is more fun the more people there are. So come on down and join us this afternoon. Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany for our OTB live bankroll. We'll have live cut-ins here on the network during the afternoon as well. Some news when I came in, the guys in the control room, I hadn't seen it yet, but Aqueduct last night, excuse me, robbed by some armed gunmen. According to the reports, there was a report in the New York Daily News and one in the New York Post as well. $250,000 is what's being bandied about. One of the reports said they were moving some money. This was after a couple hours after the races. They were moving some money from one floor to the next. And a couple of masked gunmen put the security guards in a room and made off with the money. And then subsequently, obviously, a big police presence descended onto the track, checking for clues and whatnot. But Aqueduct, the subject of one of those movie-type robberies, really. And maybe we'll get a little update on that towards the end of the program today. We'll be joined by Dave Grenick from the Daily Racing Form, the New York correspondent. We'll go over the Aqueduct Stakes action yesterday, but maybe he'll have an update on the situation last night at Aqueduct with, an armed robbery of, as I say, kind of a movie-type scenario, walking away with a big chunk of money down at Aqueduct. But I will also note, back to the racing side of things, I'm going to do a little stakes recap here at the top of the show. As I say, towards the end of the show, we'll have Dave Grenick on, and we'll go over the New York Stakes with Dave. And in between, during our handicapping segment, do keep in mind, again, every other week, every other Sunday, it's a mandatory in the Empire Six at Aqueduct. That's one of those days. So maybe we'll give some ideas during the handicapping segment today on that Empire Six sequence. I know some might take a little swing. I'll take an extra look and maybe take a swing during the bankroll today as well. But let's jump in and take a look at the stakes action yesterday. We previewed some of it at Racing Across America yesterday, because obviously there was some nice steps along the Derby trail with the Gotham, the Tampa Bay Derby, and the San Felipe. And it'd be interesting to see how this step from Tampa plays out. We'll watch the stretch run to the Tampa Bay Derby, and it will be number 11, King Guillermo, over number 7, Sol Volante. Sol Volante, the 3-2 favorite. King Guillermo, 49-1, light up the tote board at $100.40, and does it convincingly here. The chart margin is just under 5 lengths. You can see Sol Volante makes a nice closing move to get up for second. Running third was Texas Swing. Chance It, who skipped last week because of the post position in the Fountain of Youth. Chance It winds up fifth in here. Spa City, the horse that looked to have some promise for Kieran McLaughlin, winds up seventh. Market Analysis for Todd Pletcher, a lightly raced runner, winds up sixth. But King Guillermo, Sammy Camacho on board. Obviously, he's having a very good meet. The word from Tampa was a raucous celebration in the winner's circle. The owner is a former Major League Baseball player, and the quotes from him were ecstatic. Sammy Camacho, ecstatic. His first Tampa Bay Derby, and as they say, he's been having a really good meet down there at Tampa this year, and adds the Tampa Bay Derby to it. And you would think maybe Sammy Camacho, who knows, headed to the Derby. We'll see how that works out on a couple different fronts. A, Jaramillo had been riding this horse over at Gulfstream. It's always interesting, horses like this with lesser-known jockeys, as connections of these types of horses get closer to the Kentucky Derby, they'll get calls from some of the bigger jockeys and jockey agents, and you wonder if they will shift or stick with the man that got it done, and got it done convincingly yesterday, Sammy Camacho. And I always kind of root for those guys to hold on to their mounts. But as I say, Jaramillo had been on board in the first three races, and it's an interesting sequence. This was the fourth career start for King Guillermo. The career debut at Gulfstream in September was a 5.5 furlong sprint, wound up sixth. Then they went over to Calder, Gulfstream Park West, and won going a mile on the turf to break the maiden. Then came back in the pulpit at Gulfstream in November, a turf stake at a mile, and ran third. So three races, two on turf. The dirt race was nothing special. Hadn't been seen since that November 3rd in the pulpit. Comes back, and like I say, wins convincingly here. King Guillermo, a son of Uncle Mo out of a Dixieland bandmare. They paid $150,000 at April OBS. But as I said before, we will see how it works out as far as the Derby for a guy like Camacho on two fronts. A, will he hold them out? But B, King Guillermo is not nominated to the Triple Crown. But from everything I read, they still have an opportunity here in the month of March. There's a deadline at some point during March, but they can pay $6,000 that will get them in. You would think with the $210,000 winner's share, that'll be the game plan for King Guillermo, and they'll go. But again, if you pick up some of the recaps, it sounds like it was quite the celebration in the winner's circle yesterday at Tampa Bay with, as I say, a former Major League Baseball. And from what I read, I think four-time All-Star. So it'll be fun to see him now retired, but it'll be fun to see if, they had, you would assume, the HUD to the Derby, and a guy like that and a group like that. His mom was with him, I believe, in the winner's circle. And so King Guillermo gets it done. Again, $100.40. Patrick Biancone was happy with the performance by Sol Volante. Nice little closing effort. And he said, you know, it's a young horse, still kind of learning the game. This was only his fifth career start. And so he'll benefit education-wise. Let me just check and see what Sol Volante is point-wise. He's sitting with 30 points now. So probably needs to place in one more event to guarantee getting in. King Guillermo with the 50 points, you would think, is probably in, given what we've seen in the last couple of years. Last week, I looked it up, and last year, I think the cutoff, the last horse in, had 40 points. 2 years ago, it was 29. 50 is pretty much going to get you into the race. And at this point, we have six horses at 50 or above. Actually, five horses at 50 or above. Mr. Monomoy was one of those, but Mr. Monomoy off the Derby trail now with a little ding. All right, so King Guillermo, the highlight of Tampa's card yesterday, but there was some other nice stakes action down in Florida, the west coast of Florida, and one of those races was the Florida Oaks. Three-year-old fillies on the turf at a mile and a 16th. And this was part of the cross-country pick five that Andy Serling talked about with us yesterday. And so he mentioned this race on the pregame show for Naira, and he was talking about Outburst as the likely favorite and looking at the morning line and saying, boy, the 8-1 on the morning line is just a dream because this horse likely to go off as the favorite. Nailed it because the horse did go off at 2-1. And Outburst, the number 8 horse, gets it done. It was a ding-dong battle. Walk-in Marrakesh makes a little late push here as what the third choice at 5-1 and just misses. Walk-in Marrakesh is the number 6. The chart margin will wind up being ahead. So you had to kind of hold your breath here if you had Outburst, but gets it done. Secret Stash runs third, but Eddie Keneally's Outburst. Four starts so far in the career, the first couple over in Europe. They were pretty good looking, and now 2-for-2 since arriving in the United States. So on the little subdivision of three-year-old fillies on the turf, Outburst moves forward nicely, and will be interesting to watch as the year goes ahead. And Walk-in Marrakesh is also going to be one to watch going forward. Started the career over in Europe, looked pretty good over there, came over and ran in the Natalma up at Woodbine in September, ran second behind Abscond. This was the three-year-old debut for Walk-in Marrakesh. That was a pretty good-looking three-year-old debut. So that one will be one to watch, too. And as I say, that subdivision of three-year-old fillies on the turf. All right, let's go back one more race at Tampa, the Hillsborough. Hillsborough fillies and mares on the grass at a mile and an eighth. And, you know, all eyes here were on Starship Jubilee. It's just looked really good in a couple of starts down in Florida. Two starts back before yesterday, won the Sunshine Millions Turf. Last start, won the Suwannee River, both over at Gulfstream. And I had forgotten, Sully Crotty tweeted out yesterday a picture of me talking to Kevin Attard. I had forgotten we had talked to Kevin this summer when we were up at Woodbine about Starship Jubilee. And obviously he was high on the horse then. Subsequently, she won the Canadian and the E.P. Taylor up at Woodbine. And then tried the Cardinal at Churchill, three starts back before yesterday, and ran second and ripped off the two wins over at Gulfstream. And then the win right there at Tampa to take the Hillsborough. It was a nice performance as a 6-5 favorite, and she is just turning into a nice win machine as she gets older. She's now a 7-year-old. Last year, three wins, 3 seconds, and 7 starts, and over $600,000. She has well over $1 million. I'm guessing with yesterday's purse, she's went over $1.5 million with yesterday's purse. For the career. So Starship Jubilee, nice runner for Kevin Attard. Continues to get it done down in Florida this winter. So congratulations to that team. And I wanted to also pull up the Challenger yesterday from Tampa. Grade 3 event, mile and a 16th. Wanted to show this because it was the comeback for King for a Day. The Pletcher runner, who in the Pegasus last year was the conqueror of Maximum Security, subsequently showed up in the Haskell and was well beaten by Maximum Security. But after that Pegasus, it looked like Pletcher might have an interesting little three-year-old. Unfortunately, after the Haskell, went to the sideline. So this was going to be the return, the four-year-old return for King for a Day. King for a Day is the number 5 horse. runs a pretty good race, and mid-stretch looks pretty good here. Number five, King for a Day, but gets a challenge from one of the other logicals in here, Trophy Chaser, who was coming off an optional claiming win at Gulfstream, but had done it with a triple-digit buyer. And it just looks like off the layoff, King for a Day, a little bit short. And Trophy Chaser right now in very good form, again, coming off of that triple-digit buyer win last time. And Trophy Chaser early in the career had been stakes play. So it was a horse that had some class, some stakes level class. And coming out of that optional claimer triple-digit win in the four-year-old debut, maybe signal this is kind of a new horse that will be a player in the older division as well. King for a Day, I thought that was a pretty good comeback, having not been seen since July for the Pletcher Runner. So both of those interesting, and as I said with Andy yesterday, he brought it up. It's a fun and a more interesting older division this year than I think it was last year. And these two, I don't know whether they'll knock heads at the top level of that division, but I think they'll be players in some of the stakes action for handicap horses as the year progresses. All right, let's take a look at some of the action out at Santa Anita, because obviously they had a nice step on the Derby trail as well. And they also had the big cap yesterday. Santa Anita handicap, which kind of floated under the radar a little bit this year. I think some of the starts, as it has been in previous years, the Pegasus and the Dubai World Cup have taken a little of the starch out of the status of the big cap, the Santa Anita handicap, which really was one of the big races, early races in the year for handicap division horses until really the Pegasus. I mean, it was even pretty big with the Dubai World Cup. It would still get some noise, but the Pegasus took a little, as I say, the starch out. And then this year, the Saudi Cup did the same. But big cap had a big, had an interesting field again this year. But let's start out our look at Santa Anita yesterday by taking a look at that race on the three-year-old side of things, the San Felipe. Baffert had a couple of the logicals in Authentic and Thousand Words. Storm the Court, the number six, is last year's two-year-old champion. Authentic, though, the number four. Morning line favorite at 6-5, went off at 6-5, and Authentic, number four, winds up winning for Bob Baffert, and some potent connections, Starlight, Mattaquette, and some others, and a group that was involved in Justify, essentially. So Authentic gets it done pretty nicely here. Chart margin 2.25, running second is Honor AP, and this is the horse we talked a little bit about yesterday with Jeremy Plonk. He really likes Honor AP, and he kind of thought Honor AP in what was yesterday not only his three-year-old debut, Honor AP running second there, not only his three-year-old debut, but his third start of the career. And Jeremy thought this is going to be a very nice horse, probably will benefit from the race yesterday, move forward. Jeremy thought this may be the horse he'll latch on to come Derby time, looking out, a little crystal ball action. But I think, given what Jeremy was saying yesterday, I have to think, he and other people who may be on the Honor AP bandwagon probably got what they wanted. Again, it was only career start number three for Honor AP. Debut was the second place finish at Del Mar in August. Broke the maiden in October, middle of October at Santa Anita. So I've been off since October, three-year-old debut, second to Authentic, who clearly is going to turn out to be a nice one for Bob Baffert. Yesterday we showed the Sham, and we've showed it a couple of times on the show to talk a little bit about Authentic. And Authentic, in that race, the Sham opened up a big lead in the stretch and then kind of raced greenly and ducked in towards the rail. Yesterday, though, you could see it there, but Baffert also commented, a complete gentleman in the paddock and beyond. So Authentic, it looks like maybe that kind of greenness last time was just a little bit of an aberration. But Authentic looking pretty good. If you like him, that was only his third career start, only the third start for Honor AP. So a couple coming out of California. Thousand Words, Storm the Court, last year's two-year-old champion, ran third. Thousand Words, the other Baffert, a little bit of a disappointment, running fourth. Baffert seemed to indicate yesterday Authentic will come back in the Santa Anita Derby. And Thousand Words, they'll probably look around bluegrass or wood, something like that, for 1,000 words. So there's your San Felipe on the Derby Trail yesterday from Santa Anita. Let me pull up the Kilroe Mile, a grade one, one of the nice mile turf races in the country every year, prestigious, and yesterday a field of 10, and it was highlighted by Got Stormy, who went off as the even money favorite. The Mark Cassie runner, who we remember from Saratoga last year, as having won the four-star, the grade one four-star Dave, just a week after winning the restricted Della Rose. Got Stormy is the number three horse, takes the lead here, and looks like going to be a gutsy winner. But River Boyne sneaks up the rail, and River Boyne is a really nice turf runner out there in Southern California, and gets it done for the second win in the last two starts, so a little bit of a win streak. And it was also the second time paired up with Abel Cedillo, who's the jock that's been making a little bit of noise over the last few months out in Southern California. And Jeff Mullins kind of credited the last couple of wins with River Boyne to Cedillo and his rides. And that was a nice crafty ride coming up the inside. No shame in defeat for Got Stormy. That was a nice performance. She kind of stalked the early pace, took the lead, and it looked like she was going to be a nice gutsy winner down the stretch, but just kind of got a little sneaky run up the rail from River Boyne to get it done. But Got Stormy continues. And this shows, you always wonder about mayors. They always have the thought that at some point they lose interest. And off the seasonal debut fourth down at Tampa, you may have wondered, has Got Stormy gotten past her competitive edge? But I think yesterday showed that she is the Got Stormy we all know and love, and we'll be interested to see where she winds up in her next start. All right, and finally, let's take a look at that big cap. As mentioned before, a little bit under the radar, but a fun field in the big cap yesterday. Gift Box wound up to be a scratch. That said, the connections of Gift Box wind up, Aranis Racing and John Sadler wind up with Combatant still running. And so they scratch Gift Box, but their other entrant gets it done. Combatant, who was a horse I have liked throughout the career, went in the Steve Asmussen barn, now out with Horanis and John Sadler out in Southern California. But as I say, I liked this horse and kind of hadn't lived up to my chasing it a little bit. But Combatant yesterday, number six horse, you can see here, nice little stretch run, gets up by a chart margin of a neck over Multiplier for Peter Miller. Multiplier had for a long time been in the barn of Bill Mott. So a couple of horses that had done a lot of East Coast racing for high-profile trainers but have subsequently moved to the West Coast run 1-2. Midcourt runs third in there for John Sheriffs. And Midcourt was the 3-5 favorite. So Combatant 9-1 over Multiplier 33-1. You wind up with a nice little, for a buck, $187 exacta with, again, a couple of horses that we are familiar with, Multiplier and Combatant, from races East Coast, Saratoga as well, but now they're out on the West Coast in new barns. The big cap yesterday, Combatant, again, in a handicap division that I think is going to be kind of fun and interesting this year. The big cap just adds to that. One more I just wanted to mention, don't have a replay, but down at Oaklawn in the Hot Springs, Whitmore got it done as the 4-5 favorite. Verifying his horse for a course kind of angle, Whitmore, chart margin of a little over a couple of lengths against a field of five down there at Oaklawn in the Hot Springs. All right, let's take a break, and when we come back, as I say, our handicapping segment, we'll just do a little run through the Umpire Six and toss some ideas out there. As again, it will be a mandatory pay today. $66,000 in the pool so far. With the mandatory, that'll juice up significantly. Umpire Six at Aqueduct for this afternoon. We'll take a look right after this. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Wagering on horse racing just got a lot easier at Capital OTB with our newly designed state-of-the-art mobile wagering site. Everything you need is right here on one easy-to-navigate mobile platform. Set your favorite tracks, pick your horses, place your bets, all with a simple tap of the screen. Plus, you'll have access to Capital OTB TV for all our network programming. So log on to CapitalOTBBet.com and see just how easy wagering on horse racing can be.
Visit Rivers Casino and Resort, the Capital Region's only destination for live table game action and the hottest new slots paying out millions. And they're off. Horse betting is now at Rivers Casino and Resort with Capital off-track betting terminals and live tellers located just off the gaming floor at Van Slick's. Get in on all the action at Rivers Casino and Resort.
Welcome back to Racing Across America, and I forgot at the top of the show to congratulate everyone who is watching this morning. You remembered to move your clock ahead, so we appreciate that. I did as well, which is good, because it would be totally embarrassing if I missed my own show. But here I am this morning, because I did remember. Actually, I have a couple of defunct cell phones that I use as my alarm clock. I have to have two, because otherwise it would be a mess. But the nice thing about the cell phone, automatically updates. You don't have to worry about it. So I made it in. I'm here. And again, we'll do a little handicapping in this segment. And about 10 minutes or so, we'll be joined by Dave Grenig, New York correspondent from the Daily Racing Forum. Get some of his thoughts on the Gotham yesterday and the undercard stakes, mind control yesterday. Just fabulous. But first, we'll also concentrate on New York in the handicapping segment because, again, with the new rules on the Empire 6 paying out every couple of weeks, this is a mandatory day. $66,000 plus in the pool. So with the mandatory, that'll juice up very nicely. We'll just go through the sequence quickly and toss out some ideas. Obviously without scratches, I don't have a ticket formulated or anything yet. And as I say, this afternoon in the bankroll, I may put an Empire 6 ticket together and take a little shot for our bankroll team. I'll have to see and, again, take a look after scratches, see if we can put something together with a decent budget. Fourth race at Aqueduct today will kick off the Empire. It goes off a little before 3 p.m. I have it 12, 11, 10, and 7. Vitanza on top for Jim Bond. Has tried nine times, hasn't gotten it done yet, but I thought the last two or three starts number-wise as compared to this bunch and finishing position-wise just kind of seems to be figuring it out. The numbers stack up nicely with this bunch. Has an interesting little outside stalking position, so I'll put Vitanza on top. Deja Raconte, good try two starts back, and then last time went backwards a little bit, but showed early speed in both of those. And maybe interesting just from that kind of pace play scenario. Early speed also from Funderella, so that horse should be in the thick of things early. And then the number seven, Rousey. Again, you go two, three, four, five starts back, pretty good numbers. Last time, not so much. Claimed out of the last start, though, and I'm going to kind of draw a line through that. Just looks like an aberration, and the best effort Rousey could be in. This is to me, a tough way to start the sequence, so I'd probably go a little bit deeper here and look to slim things down in later races. But in the fourth, 10, 11, 10, and 7. Fifth race at Aqueduct today, conditional claimers going 6. I have a 9, 2, 7, and 1. Dirty Bird, I think with the class relief, the additional class relief this afternoon, Dirty Bird becomes a player. Eric Cancel on board. And again, he's been riding very well over the past couple of weeks. So, you know, again, the last two or three races, looking at what the horse has done, and then you throw in the class relief. Dirty Bird looks pretty good. Ma Meatloaf in the second spot. Seems kind of comparable maybe to the top pick, but whereas the top pick is dropping, so you get that additional little check mark in the proper column. Ma Meatloaf has been racing at this level, doing so competitively, but I just thought Dirty Bird was more interesting with the class move. Ma Meatloaf in the second spot, and our friend Roddy Valente has Miss Hot Stones. I didn't know what to do with her. She looked so good last year, you know, comparatively speaking, so good as compared to this bunch. She would kind of lay over these on a best effort. The comeback, though, was a little bit disappointing, but might have needed that one. So still have Miss Hot Stones in the mix. In the fifth at Aqueduct, 9-2, 7-1. Race number 6 at Aqueduct on Sunday afternoon. State Bred Maiden Claimers going 6.5, 6, 5, 8, and 2. Implied volatility in the top spot. Rudy Rodriguez, trainee, dropped down to this maiden 25 level, 2 starts back, and has run a couple of second place finishes with numbers, buyers that stack up nicely with this bunch. So it just looks kind of prime for a good effort today, fitness-wise and form-wise, and compared to the rest of this bunch. So implied volatility on top. And this may be one where this is not the kind of a race where you want a single. But again, if you're looking to pare down your ticket, I could make a case that implied volatility is one of those where you could go a little bit lighter. And maybe you make it too deep and toss in Mr. Wonderful. Question mark on Mr. Wonderful. Hasn't been seen in a better part of a year since last April. Comes back as a new gelding. George Weaver trainee. Weaver, who quietly is having a decent little Aqueduct meet. this horse has run decently at Aqueduct. And again, I think this horse fits and is a pretty good fit, but the fitness is a question mark. But the February 22nd workout, bullet workout, seems to indicate the horse is fit. So again, maybe a couple deep in here, and you can get through with the 6 and the 5. Papa Tom B in the third spot for me. This horse was kind of on the improve perhaps last fall at the Finger Lakes. I'm just not sure because it's a Finger Lakes to Naira move. I'm not totally sure how the horse classes up, but in the 6th at Aqueduct, 6, 5, 8, and 2. Race number 7 on Sunday, plain vanilla 10,000 claimers going 3/4 of a mile. 5, 3, 11, and 4. Mo Diddley on top has been facing state bred claimers at a higher price. So again, now goes into an open claimer, but I think on the move from 25 to 10, I still think this horse will have a little bit of a class edge over this bunch. Has very nice early positional speed. So I think if it falls into his lap, he could take the lead. I'd more anticipate kind of a close-up stalking kind of a race because I think Lori's Posse has some speed. There are a couple others in here, Massey Hall perhaps. But Mo Diddley on top. Again, the race two back kind of stands out. The win against those state bred 25 types with a really solid buyer as compared to this field. So Mo Diddley on top to maybe stalk and pounce under Kendrick. Blue Belt in the second spot also is moving out of those state bred 25 claimers and has also been racing decently at that level and should look at this as a little punch of class relief. Saratoga Gyro in the third spot. Jason Service off the claim for Michael Dubb and company. There are some back numbers for this horse that are very good. And again, you have a horse like this. In the last start, this horse was well behind both Mo Diddley and Blue Belt. But that race just looks like a total aberration unless the horse just went the wrong way. But claimed out of that race and has been on the sidelines now for, a month and a half, better part of 2 months. and comes back for a reduced rate for Jason Service. It could be a clever move, or it could be just, hey, we made the wrong move with a claim. I'm going to kind of hope it's the former rather than the latter, and that they're just kind of being clever. Hey, the horse ran poorly at 25, sat off better part of a couple of months. Let's come back from 10 and sneak one in. I think the horse could be a little bit of a player, but there is a question mark there. In the 7th at Aqueduct, 5, 3, 11, and 4. Race number 8, non-winners and one other than allowance runners, going 6.5, 3, 2, 7, and 4. The number 3, Palomita, goes out for Chad Brown. First two starts of the career were very promising, and then tossed in a dud last time in the 4-year-old debut off a long layoff. So this is another one of those total question marks. But they stick in allowance company. They clearly haven't given up on the horse, so I'm going to trust the connections that this horse will get back to what we saw a little bit earlier in the career, and the last was just one to draw a line through. Palomita on top. Excess Capacity comes in really good form. Goes off the claim last time. But as I say, has been kind of popular at the claim box and seems to have, for the most part, kind of held form going barn to barn. But the last few races just say this horse is in good form. Excess Capacity in the mix, and Sadie Lady, 7-5 on the morning line, no arguments there, and I think on your Empire you have to have Sadie Lady. Nice improving numbers over the past few starts since moving into the Robert Trost barn, and the last two were nice wins with, again, improving buyer numbers that say Sadie Lady probably the horse to beat. In the 8th at Aqueduct, 3, 2, 7, and 4. And finally, race number 9 to wrap up that Empire. It'll go off at about 5:30 this afternoon. I have a 3, 7, 8, and 5. My Sweet Cat on top. Linda Rice Runner has been knocking at the door. This is not a strong field, so you're just looking for a little something. And we have gotten a little something from My Sweet Cat. Touch of Nirvana hasn't been seen since late December down at Gulfstream, but was facing Maiden Special Weight Company and doing so at least in a couple of the starts competitively. So dropping in for the tag and coming up to New York, Touch of Nirvana has to be considered, and that Anula in the third spot. Again, off a little bit of a number last time, that is enough to think, yeah, this horse should be a player with this bunch. The 9th at Aqueduct, 3, 7, 8, and 5. So there are some of my thoughts on the 6 races that will make up the Empire 6 this afternoon at Aqueduct. Again, with a mandatory pay today, $66,000 in the pool, 20-cent increment. Take a shot. Jump in. And don't forget also, closing at 6:30 today, Kentucky Oaks Future Pool. Closing at 6 o'clock, Kentucky Derby Future Pool. I looked a little bit earlier. All Others is intriguing to me. You will get the winner of the Tampa Bay Derby in the All Others Pool. And All Others currently sitting at 3-1. The favorite is Tis the Law at 6-1. Charlatan, the Baffert runner at 14-1, seems awfully short. Ah, I take it back. The favorite after yesterday is Authentic at 5-1. I'm not jumping in at any of those prices. I'm looking for something a little more in the 20-1 range. Governor Morris at 25-1 becomes a little bit interesting. Honor AP, 19-1. I think that's pretty good. Independence Hall, who will go in the Florida Derby, 29-1. So there are some interesting prices here if you want to play around. Take a look at that Kentucky Future Pool, again, closing later today at about 6 o'clock. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Dave Grenig will join us, New York correspondent for the Daily Racing Forum. We'll take a look at the stakes action yesterday at Aqueduct. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops.
My bad.
Love racing?
RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Here in upstate New York, no one provides bettors with more wagering options than Capital OTB. Our network of ranch and easy bet locations stretches from the mid-Hudson Valley all the way to the Canadian border and west to central New York. So whether you need to place a bet, fund your Capital Bets account, or watch the next big race, all the action is just around the corner. A full list of our branch and easy bet locations can be found online at CapitalOTB.com. Capital OTB, the better and most convenient choice for wagering in upstate New York.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. Seth Merrow in the studio being joined by Dave Grenig, the New York correspondent for the Daily Racing Forum. I thought we'd touch base with Dave and get thoughts on really nice stakes action yesterday down at Aqueduct. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. How are you?
Very good. Before we get into that top of the show, I mentioned, excitement. I don't know if that's the right word, but at Aqueduct, I guess last night, a few hours after racing with an armed robbery. And Dave, I wonder if you have any update on that. And I said when I kind of talked about it at the top of the show, it sounds like something out of a movie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a whole lot of information. NYRA did confirm, because there was actually conflicting reports. The Daily News said it happened at the casino, and the Post had it at the racetrack. So the Post was right on this occasion. It did happen at the racetrack. And so I talked to one source who knows the mutual department, and I guess what they do is they take the money out of those betting machines, and they bring it to the vault. And on the way to the vault, they got hung up, so they got held up. So I believe there's some belief that it could be an inside job. Some people were maybe somebody casing the place, but they were on their way from the betting machine where you could deposit the money into the vault, and they caught him en route, and they got away the Post is reporting $250,000. NYRA is not confirming that figure. They say there really is no way to know at the precise moment.
I'm curious, when you came in this morning, was there still a police presence?
I have not been there yet, actually. I've been working from home this morning, so I was told that there's some yellow crime scene tape around there, but not a lot.
Okay, very good. And one other thing I wanted to touch on you because you kind of broke the story the other day. Give us some thoughts on Kieran. A few months ago, Kieran said he was going to change from being based in New York and maybe do some Kentucky or New Jersey or something. And then you came out with the news the other day that retiring from training and moving on to becoming an agent for Luis Saez. And the story is a little deeper than that, in that he had some troubles with the Labor Department and maybe some troubles to come with federal labor officials, and a big fine. And I'm wondering your thoughts on that. But also, are there rumblings from other guys? Because certainly the Labor Department has looked at some other guys, and it just seems like Kieran's a pretty straight shooter. And when he says it's hard to follow the rules, I wonder if other folks are grumbling a little bit too.
Yeah, other folks are grumbling, and we saw Gary Contessa also announced that he was getting out pretty much for the same reason. I mean, I know Gary's been looking to get out for a little while, but it's, the Labor Board sort of expedited it for him as well, and I know his wife has health issues that he's addressing. But there are rumblings. Other trainers are, trying to figure it out too, whether they get out of the game or whether they get out of New York. The Labor Board has really been tough on these horsemen. And I'm not sure why it's just the New York horsemen, why they haven't looked elsewhere. Kieran, I think there was twofold there. I don't think Kieran really wanted to leave New York. I think his reputation took a hit because of this fine, and it feels like he didn't do anything wrong. The rules are a little bit hard to follow with three tracks and three jurisdictions with three different sets of rules in terms of payment. And then the opportunity to take a guy like Luis Saez, Richie DePaz was his agent, he's retiring. And I think the opportunity to take a jockey of that ilk was appealing to Kieran. I'm sure he'll get as many calls from trainers looking for Saez as he'll have to make to get Saez mount. So I think it's sort of a little bit of a perfect storm for Kieran to stay in the game and move on from training.
Yeah, it was interesting. Kieran's a good guy, so we're certainly rooting for him going forward. All right, let's get some thoughts on the action yesterday. I've been saying It was a little bit different when I was a kid, and I went back. I looked up a list of winners a couple of days ago, and I kind of referred back to the Air Forbes one day when the race was in April. And at that point, I said it was kind of the proverbial robin on the front lawn, kind of the signal of spring. Not quite that. It's a little earlier, but it kind of signals spring is right around the corner. But the Gotham, still a lot of fun, still a nice step on the Derby trail. And we're going to take a look at the stretch run of yesterday's Gotham. It'll be number 6, Mischievous Alex, getting it done as the favorite in here. Untitled, who I think a lot of people thought was going to be a little bit interesting, was interesting. The number 10, Untitled, second. And Dale's horse. We had Dale on last week, and he confirmed he was going to send attachment rate to the Gotham. Attachment rate's the number 4. He winds up running 3rd in here. So I thought the top 3 were kind of interesting, but the chart margin, a couple of lengths for Mischievous Alex. And looking at your follow-up article and a lot of the conversation coming into this race, and it seems to be the conversation with the connections as well. Nice win yesterday, chart margin of a couple of lengths, but the 1.25 of the Kentucky Derby may be stretching it a little bit for this horse.
Yeah, I think coming in and coming out of this race, I believe that, you know, the trainer John Service and owner Chuck Zackney, you know, they've been down this road before. They know what kind of horse it takes to get to the Kentucky Derby. And they know they have a nice horse in Mischievous Alex, and what they don't know is how far he wants to run. And, you know, he probably earned a chance to stretch out to 2 turns in the Wood Memorial. But, you know, about 20 minutes ago, I hung up with John Service, the trainer, and he's not so sure that that's the rate they're going to go. He mentioned that everything's on the table, including, which was a little bit surprising to me, just training up to the Derby. He's not ruling that out. I think it's only 12 hours after the race, 14 hours after the race or so, and I think there's some discussions to be had. I think in their heart of hearts, their first impressions are this isn't a Derby horse, but you look around, you see a 50-1 shot win the Tampa Bay Derby, and so you don't know if maybe you sell your horse a little bit short. So I think they're going to take their time, figure it out. Ultimately, I do think they'll wind up running in the Wood Memorial, but the door was open to just train to the Derby or maybe just going in a totally different direction. I think he's a nice horse. I think one of the things that maybe can alter these guys' thinking a little bit is the Woody Stevens now being grade 1 on Belmont Day, early June. You don't have to wait now until August to take your shot at a grade 1, like in the H. Allen Jerkin. So if you play it right, you can, you know, take your horse in form of your net, maybe not over-race them, and, you know, don't have to wait 2 extra months, and you can take a shot at the grade 1 Woody Stevens. And I think that'll be part of the thinking, too. Maybe we just train them to the Woody Stevens, or maybe take a shot in the Derby and still have 5 weeks to the Woody Stevens. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. And ultimately, I don't think he's a Derby horse. I think he's a nice horse, and you'll probably have to look elsewhere for a Derby one.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about that. The grade 1 in the Woody Stevens does give some options now for those folks that want that kind of black type. But it does just seem like this time of year, it seems like they have to at least try the 1.125 in the Wood to get a better barometer.
You would think. I would think that when John mentions to the owners, hey, what about, you know, maybe we just train up to the Derby, I think that would catch. I don't know that it was brazen enough to go from a mile race in March to the Derby in May. So I don't necessarily think that'll happen. But look, there's all kinds of different ways to get there now. The Gotham is kind of an odd race to be a points race because it's a one-turn mile, and all the other races are basically 2 turns, mile 16th, mile and 8th, but this one gets you a spot. They got 50 points, and they can pretty much play with it how they want to. Maybe this race should be a 20-point race for the winner or something, and then sort of maybe forcing their hand a little bit to see if they are true mile and 8th, true route horse.
That is funny, though. I was talking about the Gotham when I was a kid being more an April kind of a race, and then the Wood Memorial after that, so that you were 2 weeks out with the Wood back in the day, and now 21st century training, March 7th, maybe I'll train up to the Derby.
Right. It is strange. I mean, the amount of time you've got to get horses now, and I think a lot of it is just the speed figure situations, and they get so many different numbers now. There's fire, there's track, thoroughgraph, there's so many different things. I think the trainers now take a little bit more time to digest that information, whereas, back in the day, as you're talking about, they sort of just went from, okay, what's next? Let me open the account. Let me open the Facebook and see what's next. and that's where I'm going to run.
Yeah, it is clearly a different world out there. All right, let's go back to the Buescher because, man, this is notable. You know, congratulations to the winner, but it's notable for kind of the upset here at 4-5 Lake Avenue. I thought Lake Avenue was a cinch. I was really looking forward to this race. I thought she was really impressive in the Demoiselle last December. Had been training down at Payson for Bill Mott, but I'm sure that $250,000 was kind of a siren call to come back to New York for the three-year-old debut. But Lake Avenue is the number five horse as we watch the replay. Again, the 4-5 favorite winds up a really disappointing fourth. Winning was Water White, the number six horse. Number two, Kansas Kiss, runs second. And Panthera Anka, the number three, runs third. 17-1, 13-1, and 23-1. And as they say, Lake Avenue, a disappointing fourth in here. Your thoughts on the Buescher?
Yeah, that's a head scratcher. I thought every other race kind of went like was logical. This was illogical. I didn't expect. I thought Lake Avenue was gonna. You know, I thought it looked like the perfect spot to bring Lake Avenue back. Not only for a rich purse, but you get your points that you need to get in the Oaks, and then you can figure out from there what you want to do. Bill Mott was even here. I don't know how many times Bill Mott has been in Akron in March.
I saw that. He was in the paddock wearing a parka. I thought, is he based? No. In one of the early races, I thought, what, is he in New York this winter? And then I realized, oh, he's got Lake Avenue later, so he came up for that.
Right. So I know he was disappointed, especially the way that, you know, look, it's one thing to bring a horse back off the layoff. They run until about the eighth pole, and then they get tired a little bit on a track that, you know, has been deep and slow this winter. Then you can say, okay, but he was a little bit, he was pretty disappointed about how early she gave it up. Like when Kansas Kiss made a run at her around the 5/16th pole, I guess Lake Avenue fought a little bit, you know, for another 16th of a mile, but turning for home, you could tell she was done. And then Kansas Kiss looked like she was home. I mean, what an aggressive move by Cancel, who's been doing everything right this winter, and it looked like he was going to steal the race. And then she gets a little late, starts to drift out, and here comes Water White, who gets up by a nose in the final jump under Jorge Vargas. And I think, you know, it's weird because even though when you look at the form, it looks like this is what Philly wants to do, one-turn mile. She won a one-turn mile. She was second to Nadine in a one-turn mile. But you talk to Rudy, and he says, no, she's a distance horse. She just needs some pace in front of her. And she's a grinder type. And she did. She grinded this one out. It was funny. He asked Rudy, I said, are you going to the, you know, are you now an Oaks horse? Or is she nominated to the Oaks? He goes, I don't even know. And I did look it up afterwards. She is indeed nominated to the Oaks. But I think he was a little surprised that she got the job done there, and I guess they'll look at the Gazelle as well and see where, you know, just because he thinks she's a mile and eighth, two turn horse.
Well, did Bill Mott make any mention of what's next, or is this one of those, hey, we got to get back to the barn and kind of regroup?
Oh, definitely. I think They have to check her out and see what, you know, see where they go from there. Did they just, you know, toss a line, you know, put a line through it and move on? I know they were thinking the Ashlands with her, and maybe that trap, maybe you just draw a line through, you know, with the Royal Delta many years ago.
Oh, right.
Horribly in the Suncoast State at the at Tampa.
Yeah.
And then look what she became. So it's not, you know, sometimes you just draw a line through it and move on.
Yeah.
So that's what, you know, they have. He also has that Harvey's Little Coil, the one that's Sonda. I think he has her earmarked for the Gazelle, so I could see that one coming back for the Gazelle. And then I guess they just say, you know, look at Lake Avenue. If she's healthy and fine and training, maybe you just say, okay, let's just go back to the well and see what happens. You know, sometimes you need to be proven that a good performance, you need to see it backed up. And sometimes maybe you need a bad performance, either confirmed or, you know, disregarded. And you know, if there's nothing wrong with her, I would anticipate maybe seeing her in the Ashland.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see where she goes next and how she, if she rebounds. But let's go back to the Tom Fool, because to me this was maybe the performance of the weekend. This was, and I have not seen a buyer number to see if it's validated or not by the number, but man, this was a wow performance. We're going to watch the stretch run here, and I'll tell folks to pick up the number four Chicklet. That's Mind Control, who I don't know whether until 70 yards from the wire, 50 yards from the wire, I thought this horse had any chance. I thought it was one of those where, okay, he's going to make a nice late run to be kind of an impressive second, perhaps. But number five, Happy Farm, has the lead, and a pretty easy lead in the lane at 3-1. At 7-5, though, number four, Mind Control. And we can see sitting back here, and just it seems like, man, there is way too much to do, even with a big late run. but gets up and gets it done. Not only that, the chart margin is over a length here for Mind Control. As I say, this was kind of a wow performance and one of the bigger performances for me of the weekend. What were your thoughts coming out of the Tom Fool and Mind Control?
You know, I thought Mind Control was a little vulnerable coming into this race, just the type of horse that, you know, is a little quirky. John Velasquez said weights on horses and whatnot. And, you know, I thought with a jockey change and coming back, you know, running, shortening up six furlongs, I thought, you know what, this might be a good opportunity to play against Mind Control. And I paid for that one because that was some late run that he made. You know, he didn't get off very well. He kind of bobbled a little bit at the break. Was sort of on his wrong lead early, and that's what caused him to drop back as far as seven lengths after the first half mile. But Junior got him out in the clear, hit him a few times left-handed, and he responded. And really, if you watch the very tail end of the race, he's going by, and Junior sort of got him in hand, and he's going by. He's got that horse measured. He wins by a length and a quarter, you know, kind of easily. And I just think that this is a horse that is probably way better than anybody gets him credit for, even if you're giving him credit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, you think, wow, this is a really nice horse, and then he does something like that, and it's like, you know what, he might be a special horse. 7 for 12. He carried 125 pounds in that race. He was giving 2 pounds to the runner-up, but he was giving 9 pounds to the horses that ran third and fourth. So this is a pretty special horse. He's a grade one winner at two, a grade one winner at three, and he's going to try and become a grade one winner at four in the Carter on April 4th. And, you know, good luck, Chuck. I'm not going to try and beat him. I don't know who's going to come up for that race, but, you know, I don't know that he'd be in a hurry to come up here for that horse. Search for running at this one.
Yeah, Greg Sacco with a nice horse. And again, he was the winner, as you alluded to, the Jerkins up at Saratoga last year, laid off from that until the win in the Toboggan, and now puts this one again, a wow performance, certainly.
You know, and it's interesting. This is a horse who's sort of like your mischievous Alex of last year. I know he got beaten at Gotham, but yeah, they could have went, you know, after he won the Jerome and got those points in the Gotham, they could have went on to the Triple Crown Trail, and they decided against it. They went Bayshore. He won that. Woody Stevens, he had a rough trip when he was eighth. Not sure exactly. I know that he had a bad trip when he was in a little overnight stake at Laurel. Then he's come back. He's won three in a row. The grade one Jerkins, grade three Boggan, and the grade three Tom Fool. So this was going to be a serious sprinter, you know, throughout this 2020
camp. Yeah, and I think maybe it was in the winner's circle for the Jerkins. I think Greg Sacco credited his brother as giving him advice, just keep this one sprinting. And it was good advice, clearly.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Greg was like a little disappointed when they didn't go on, when after they got them and the decision was made not to try the wood and they went to the Bayshore instead. I think Greg was a little disappointed that they'd like to try him. And I think this year the goal is the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, which is a two-turn race. He's going to have to get, you know, probably get a two-turn experience. The only one he's had was the Breeders' Cup Juvenile 2 years ago, and it wasn't good, but there was other extenuating circumstances there. So I would think, you know, they would probably find some kind of two-turn race somewhere. I don't know if it's in Monmouth or somewhere else, but just to get that experience at some point.
Yeah, again, helping to validate the three-year-old crop that last year was a little bit suspect going into the summer, but as we went along, horses like Spun to Run kind of came to the forefront, certainly Maximum Security, but Mind Control was another one of those horses, and now nice four-year-olds as well, helping to make the older division a little more interesting this year. All right, let's go on to the Stymie and get some thoughts there. I handicapped the race yesterday, and I said I was using Wicked Trick off the triple-digit buyer, but it was a class leap that was a big question mark, and Wicked Trick just kind of never fires. Went off as the 2-1 favorite, but wound up fifth in the field of seven. Jovia, coming out of the try down in Arkansas on the Razorback, winds up a disappointing seventh in the field of seven. But the winner was the horse I had right underneath, a horse I had liked since late in the two-year-old campaign where he won the half down in Maryland, Diamond King. Finally gets a nice little stakes win that kind of validated what I've thought about him all along. And you can see here, it's a gutsy stretch run where some horses are trying to make up ground, and he just won't let them. So a nice win by Diamond King in the Stymie. American Anthem runs second in there, the horse that was formerly with Bob Baffert, now in the Danny Gargan barn. But again, nice win for Diamond King.
Yeah, for the most part of the betting, I was a little concerned. I like Diamond King a lot in this race, and I'm surprised at how he was hovering around 6-1, 5-1, 6-1 for a while, and I was like, does somebody know something? Somebody must know something I don't. I thought this horse was, you know, didn't have to be the favorite, but I thought he'd be the second choice, actually. in the race, and he probably did come down to 4-1, but he came off the bench last year and ran a bang-up race at an allowance at Gulfstream and then second at Charlestown Classic, and he ran, you know, some pretty good races, and even his last race wasn't horrible. He was fifth to Maximum Security, but he wasn't fifth like beating 20 lengths. He was, you know, about beating 5 lengths, freshened up by service, and came off the bench with another strong run, and, you know, he's now given them two superior efforts off layoff, and I guess the plan is to go back to the Charlestown Classic, and you know, then I think, and talking to John, he said I might run him there and then give him a break and, you know, freshen him up and maybe point for something down the road, because just because he runs so well fresh, he thought last year he sort of petered out a little bit through the summer, but a nice horse who again cut below, you know, when he run, he won the Hef you mentioned, then he won the Federico Tessio, they gave him a shot in the Preakness, it didn't work out, so you know, same connections, know a little bit about you know maybe taking a horse that not at the upper echelon of the division, but spotting him right and still doing well. And this is an example of that. 5-year-old running strong. And, you know, they'll be tough. He was second in the Charlestown Classic last year, beating a half length. So I would expect he'd be among the favorites and the heavy contenders in that race again this year.
Yeah, 6 wins and 18 starts now and over $700,000 in the bank. So he's turning out to be a nice one for Cassius King, John Service and Company. Dave, before we let you go, you kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier, but touch on that a little more expansively. Wintertime down at Aqueduct, no surprise, Manny Franco and Jose Lascano riding very well. But boy, particularly the last, what, two and a half weeks, Eric Cancel has just been riding lights out.
Oh, I think even longer. Yeah, I think he's had a tremendous meet. As you know, we have 10 days left in the winter meet, and we have a 3-way tie. You're going to see this 3-way tie at top of the standings. All three of those guys have 56 wins. So it's, you know, I know that jockey titles at Aqueduct, you know, aren't high on the bucket list for guys, but it's you always want to win and see your name at the top. And this could be a nice 3-way battle down the stretch. Franco might be on the losing end of that. He dominated this thing last year, but, you know, at least for one day, because they'll be at the Florida Derby, he won't be here. So, you know, some of these guys might be out of town for something, but it's been fun to watch. And Cancel's really, you know, I think it's helped that he's got an agent in TJ Campo who's on the ground, you know, his agent, previous agent.
Yeah, you know, you bring that up, and that kind of, when he teamed up with him, that kind of was the turnaround, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, because his Ruben Munoz, who was Ricardo Santana Jr.'s agent, you know, he's out of town. He's not here. So you can't pick up mounts at the draw, or you can't, you know, commingle with the horsemen on a regular basis like PJ does. PJ's been out and about every morning, and he's at the draw. He's the first one there at the draw, and, you know, he's getting, he knows what's going on probably better than anyone who's not there. And I think it helps you pick up some mounts. And once you start rolling, you can stop by some other people's farms, say, hey, look, you know, we won 2 yesterday, we won 3, and, you know, I'm open in this spot, and, you know, he's hustling. He's doing the work that needs to be done. He's actually done well with the apprentice, Luis Cardenas, who is scheduled, I believe, to come back next Friday from an injury that he suffered in a morning workout a few weeks ago. But I think Cancel's turnaround is a lot attributed to having an agent on the ground in PJ.
Yeah, it'd be fun to watch the battle over the last couple of weeks of the meet. Dave, as always, appreciate the visit and the conversation. You can find Dave's work, Daily Racing Form, the hard copy, or DRF.com. Appreciate the conversation this morning. We'll talk again.
Anytime, Seth. Thank you.
Dave Grenig, New York correspondent for the Daily Racing Form, going over what was nice stakes action yesterday, certainly at Aqueduct. Boy, that Mind Control performance. Oh, and I looked it up while we were talking. Mind Control yesterday, a 99 buyer, which was a lifetime best buyer for him. So it was, the performance was validated by the number as well. Let me hit you with some of the other buyers from yesterday. I'm just looking. There were no triple digits in the races we looked at. Combatant had a 98. River Boyne had a 99. Authentic, a nice 98 for a 3-year-old this time of year. That's pretty good. King Guillermo, a 99. Again, for a 3-year-old at this time of year, that's a pretty good number. Starship Jubilee, a 94. Outburst, an 81. That was a little light for Outburst. There is a triple digit. Trophy Chaser, beating Kingford. Well, that flatters Kingford a day, too, then. Trophy Chaser came up with a 102. In the Challenger down at Tampa. Mischievous Alex, a 90. Water White, a 76. So again, that Busher was Diamond King, a 98 in the Stymie. Good number there as well. So some good numbers for the winners. Yes, again, except maybe the Buescher was a little dicey, and Outburst was maybe a little bit low. But other than that, I think some legit numbers for the stakes winners across the country yesterday. All right, we will wrap things up for this edition of Racing Across America. Don't forget, Oaks and Derby futures wind up today. The Derby future will close at 6 o'clock today. The Oaks future will close at 6:30 today. Take a look. And as I say, shop for a price, because you're not only looking for the horse to win the Derby of the Oaks, they have to make it to the starting gate a month and a half from now. So, you know, look around for 20-1 or a little bit higher than that. Although, in both pools, certainly in the Derby pool, I'm going to take a little pop with all others, because I think you'll wind up with at least four or five in there at a currently a little 3-1 price that may allow you to back up and play around a little bit and have some fun. But as I say, take a look at those futures, which close later today. The Empire 6 is a mandatory today at Aqueduct. Keep that in mind, $66,000 in the pool. Take your shot there at the 20-cent increment. Put a little ticket together. Come on down to the Clubhouse Racebook. We want to see you here for our OTB Live Bankroll. You can put your name in the hat between 11 and 2. We will select a team of 20 here at the Clubhouse and 5 among new account signups. So we'll have a team of 25. I'll be playing throughout the afternoon. And the money we have at the end of the day, everybody splits up. I'm looking to knock it out of the park, so fingers crossed. We'll see how that all works out. But it's always fun when we get a big crowd down here for a bankroll. So we'd love to see you here this afternoon, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. All right, we'll have cut-ins during the afternoon. So I'll start playing at about 1 o'clock. So you'll see us jump on board with essentially an OTB Live from the front side of the parlor with the bankroll at probably about 1 o'clock or so, maybe a little bit before that if I see something that's playable. So keep tuned in this afternoon. Enjoy the racing today. Don't forget to play some Gulfstream races, because we want to thank them as sponsors of this program and some of the other programming and promos here at Capital OTB. Capital OTB sponsor Gulfstream Park champions start here. All right. I'm going to wrap it up and be back on in a couple hours with our OTB Live bankroll cut-in. So enjoy the racing this afternoon. We'll see you a little later.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.